if you're single and dating right now, you're probably feeling like you're playing a game where the rules keep changing and nobody's winning. Today, we're diving deep into why modern dating feels so impossible for so many people. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. Today, we're going to be talking about dating in the modern era. If you're feeling the digital burnout from the dating apps, you feel like the dating apps just aren't cutting it, this podcast is for you. I feel exactly the same way. Feels like dating apps kind of hit their peak maybe a few years ago, maybe at the height of the pandemic. And ever since, they've just been steadily declining. So either we need to use them in a completely different way, or we need to move away from them and find other solutions to meet partners in real life, IRL. So we're going to talk about all of that today. We'll also briefly talk about my experience, my journey with dating, and solutions that you can take with you and hopefully bring into your next era of dating. So let's dive right in. I don't know about you, listener, but I am having a very hard time dating in 2025. I do not recommend it. This whole episode is my opinion. I love men. I love women. I do not want to put anyone down in this podcast. That is not my intention. Truly, I want to help people. I see the current dating situation in this country as a crisis, and I'm creating this podcast because I want to help. I want to improve this and find solutions and hopefully come up with a better way to date, because it's a huge, huge issue. I want to have a family. I want to have kids, hopefully, you know, in the next few years before it will be more and more challenging in my later 30s. And I would like to meet someone serious. And I'm just finding that the dating scene, the dating culture is really challenging right now. And I know I'm not the only one. All of my friends pretty much have had very similar experiences with dating. So we're definitely not alone in this. Some background. I recently was in a 7-year relationship. I was engaged. My ex and I really thought that this person was my soulmate. It was the person I was going to grow old with. So I thought I was, you know, I got off easy and I didn't really have to date. I had found my person and I was done. Well, life is funny that way. You know, what's the phrase? Make plans and God laughs. So I thought that I was going to end up with my ex. I thought we were going to, you know, grow old together, be together forever. But shit happens. Life happens. People break up. People get divorced. And I got on the dating apps. Admittedly, I probably was not ready to get on the dating apps. I was still really in a lot of pain healing from my breakup. By the way, I want to have a whole separate episode about just my breakup, heartbreak, all these challenges that nobody really talks about enough. But so I never really had to date. I met my ex at 22. I was a baby. And initially, I was so excited to date at this age. I thought, like, you know, the guys are going to be more serious. People are going to be looking to settle down. What I'm finding so far has been quite disappointing. And just in, you know, speaking with most of my single female friends, especially, I'm definitely not alone in this. And a lot of us are feeling something similar. So I want to kind of dive deep into that. I met my ex in 2017, and this was a time that just felt like a much simpler time. So we actually met from Tinder, believe it or not, which is kind of the worst of all the dating apps, the most notorious of all the dating apps. And we just like hit it off right away. We just had like that immediate spark and click. And now as an adult, however, I would date totally differently. Because I think when you're young, you really believe that love conquers all. So when if you've never experienced like a major heartbreak or a major breakup, you're naive and you really believe all the movies and the songs and you think, well, it's okay because we love each other. We'll figure this out. Like, it's okay that we have totally different values and totally different visions for our lives because we love each other. That's all that matters, right? Love conquers all. And love is a very, very powerful thing. It is. Unfortunately, it does not conquer all. The main bottom line is compatibility. And I actually read a whole book on this after the breakup because I'm like, well, what the heck happened? Like, what went wrong? And I think that there were a lot of things that I just kind of overlooked. Ultimately, there are three ways to be compatible. The number one most important way is shared values. You need to care about the same things and want the same things for your future. The number two most important is the shared goals. So similarly, you know, what you want for your future, what does that future look like? Do you both want kids? Do you want to live in a certain place and they don't? These can really be deal breakers for a lot of people. I think that dating apps are a blessing and a curse. I think that on the one hand, they can be a wonderful tool for meeting people and opening up opportunity. You know, they are great in that they tell you all this information about the person, which we wouldn't find out as easily. They're opening up a wider net for us, right? Like, especially if we have filters that are kind of deal breakers for us, like religion or height or location. And they are wonderful for that. As we've all been seeing, where dating apps can be problematic is that they're actually giving this illusion of choice. Like, we don't really have as much choice as we think. Like, we go on there and we think, oh, wow, there's so many people in my area. Like, it doesn't work out with this one. There's 100 other dudes I could go on a date with. But unfortunately, let's be honest, that's really not true. Like, there might be 100 guys on there, but maybe one is truly compatible with you. And so what this is doing, especially in large cities, is it's giving the paradox of choice, where people think that they have endless options and therefore they do not want to commit to just one option. So if you think about like a game show, right? I actually read Aziz Ansari's book about this. It's called Modern Romance. It's from, I want to say, 2015. And in the book, he talks about the paradox of choice. And this was when dating apps were new on the scene. And he talks about how, like, if you're on a game show and there's 20 doors to choose from, you're going to have a really hard time just choosing one door. Whereas if they instead were to give the contestant just two doors and they say, pick one of these two doors, A or B, they're going to have a much easier time choosing. We're seeing this with dating apps. The larger and larger pool that we perceive to have, the harder and harder it is to select just one match, one mate. I think dating apps combined with social media, it's a very, very superficial experience where we're judging each other just on a select few photos and a very, very brief bio without getting the full sense of who that person is behind the scenes, right? We're not getting their soul through just a few pictures and a short little bio. Maybe it's their age, height, where they live, and where they work or something like that, right? You can't know a person by just those. And by the way, some people look much better in real life than their photos, and vice versa. Some people look much better in their photos than real life, and you really can never know until you'll meet them in person. But actually getting to that stage of finally actually meeting someone from an app in person is very, very difficult as well. So I was initially very excited to date at this age. I thought that the men would be more serious. They'd be looking to settle down. There'd be less riffraff. And I'm actually finding that it's quite the opposite. So let's talk about a few stats related to dating and dating apps. Basically, if we do not meet somebody within about 1 week of matching with them on the app, if we do not meet in person in real life within around 1 week, the chances are we probably never meet them ever in real life. Around 57% of undergraduate students are now women, as opposed to 42% of men. This is according to the National Center for Education Statistics. Among young adults, 52% of white women have bachelor's degrees versus just 42% of white men. Women typically prefer to date upwards or horizontally, meaning we want to be with someone on our same socioeconomic status level or above. Let's say I'm a woman, I have a master's degree, and I'm making $150K a year. Well, I would then therefore want to date a man with at least the same level of education and income as me, or higher. And then men, on the other hand, do not care. Men are fine to date down socioeconomically. They're happy to date a woman who makes less, a woman who is less educated. So then what is happening is these really successful, really impressive women are now having to compete for a smaller and smaller pool of men. So these high performing men who are now becoming a smaller and smaller group, let's say, you know, men who are educated, attractive, they work out, and they're over 6 feet, that's now like the dream man. And so women who are also educated, have good jobs, have their shit together, plenty of income, are now competing for that top 10% of men. And a lot of men do not care about women's socioeconomic status. So let's say, you know, a 30-year-old, impressive, high-powered female lawyer, in a lot of men's eyes, is technically on the same level as like a 21-year-old barista who's an Instagram influencer or OnlyFans model. Why is this happening? Basically, men now, they have, again, this paradox of choice, and these top performing men are getting all the attention on the apps, and they kind of have their pick of the litter. They do not have biological clocks, right? So women, we have this annoying thing called a biological clock. Basically, by, you know, mid-30s, women's fertility declines. Our peak fertility is around 18, and then from the age 18 onwards, we have a less and less chance of conceiving a child naturally. Men do not have biological clocks, so they do not have this issue of needing to have children by, you know, mid-30s. And therefore, as a result, a lot of men go for younger women. Makes sense. You know, youth is attractive. It also is like a biological, from a biological standpoint, it makes sense, right? Because the younger women, in men's minds, it's a symbol of fertility. Same with like the whole waist to hips ratio. So therefore, a lot of men prefer these younger women. It's really, it's so funny. It's like we've come so far. And I don't know if any of you have seen this, the show Sex in the City, which is from, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. But a lot of the concepts in that show still hold very true. Basically, they say in that show, in the first episode, it's like the riddle of the Sphinx. There's so many wonderful single women and so few amazing single men. It's so true still today. I mean, I have so many incredible single female friends in their 30s, in their late 20s, who cannot find a suitable partner, a suitable match. We're looking around for these like successful men who are on our level or above, and they're either not interested in us because, again, they have this paradox of choice. They have so many other women. Why would they possibly choose just one? And two, we're not just competing with other impressive, successful women. We're also competing with the Instagram models, the influencers, the 21-year-old barista at the coffee shop who lives with her parents. It's a very challenging time. I'll read a few more stats. In just the United States, over 60 million people were using dating apps in 2024, according to Statista. Only 10% of people in relationships actually met through online dating. That's kind of wild, according to Pew Research. Only 10% of people who are in relationships actually met through online dating. It's very, very sad, in my opinion. But basically, so what's happening is then these young men, they're like just checking out. They're like, well, why would I bother pursuing a real relationship with a real human woman who's flawed when they could either just go online, go to Pornhub, go to OnlyFans? COVID also like pushed this even further. They can just have like an AI girlfriend. And a real human being, a human woman is flawed, right? They're getting AI girlfriends who will never complain and never have issues and never contradict them. There's also the rise of all these like toxic male influencers, people like Andrew Tate, who are so popular among young men. So a lot of these young men are just checking out. They're like, well, why would I bother dating? Why would I bother pursuing a real human woman who's just going to reject me or be flawed or challenge me when I could have my OnlyFans girlfriend or my AI girlfriend or porn? There's just like all these digital alternatives replacing human connection. And it's very, very sad. The number of people entering relationships is going way, way down. Urges are going way, way down. And if there is not something done about this dating crisis, we are heading into an era where people won't have children anymore, our population will decline. So what do men value versus what do women value in a partner, in relationships? So typically men prioritize physical attraction. That is kind of the most important thing for them, which is important in the beginning, right? Attraction is very important. You need to be attracted to your partner. But in my experience, in my personal opinion, looks in the long term are actually the least important thing. Because if somebody has a really attractive look, but a really ugly personality, in our minds, they actually become much less attractive. And vice versa, like if you meet somebody and you think they're just okay looking, but they have an amazing personality and they're such a good person, they become much, much more attractive in your eyes. The looks really are relative. And yet, for a lot of men, they are actually the number one most important priority in dating and finding a partner. Whereas women value financial stability. Is he going to bring home the bacon? Ambition, emotional maturity, and personality are much more important to us than a man's looks. I mean, yes, they want to be attracted. I think maybe there's a lot of challenge for men with their height. A lot of women are not willing to date a man who's shorter than them. And then, of course, there's this biological clock factor. Fortunately, we are limited in the terms of the timing of when we can have children. So most women want to have children by mid to late 30s. So women feel this like biological pressure, especially once we hit 30 plus, whereas men do not have this biological pressure. They could technically have a child when they're 60 with a 25-year-old woman. We've also kind of just lost our family values in this country. I think in other countries, this is not the case. But in the US, again, this goes along with what I was saying in previous episode about the loss of religion, the loss of community. As we've become less and less religious, we've sort of lost faith and family values. And as a result, a lot of young people don't really seem to care about having children, having a family, or these men don't really understand what it really means to be like an old dad. Like, I think they just don't worry about it. Like, oh, it's fine. I'll meet someone when I'm, you know, 45, 50, whatever. But to play with little children when you're older is challenging. It's not as easy as in your youth. So women are feeling this pressure. I'm now starting to feel this pressure, if I'm being honest. I think what happens is the really great single men get snatched up younger. So after college or early 20s, and now seeing what's out there, it just feels like slim pickings. Like anyone who's left, there's kind of a reason why they're still single. Either like they're just a toxic bachelor, like they talk about in Sex and the City, they just want to be single forever, or they're really, really picky, or they just like never want to settle down. Another thing that's really challenging navigating the dating landscape nowadays is plastic surgery, and I'll have a whole episode about this as well. Basically, nowadays, anyone could be beautiful with plastic surgery. And if men, the most important thing for a man is a woman's looks, and we're all competing on the basis of looks, now we're in this very unfair playing field where basically women are enhancing their beauty more and more with more and more fillers and Botox and surgeries. So if you're just a natural, like I consider myself to be a naturally beautiful woman, if you look like me, apparently now that's considered unattractive or unappealing because there's all these women that spend, you know, $50,000 on their surgeries to have this like perfect beauty, perfect image. There's just no way I could possibly compete with that. So talked a lot about the challenge at hand. Now I want to get into the positive side, which is solutions. So what can be done about all these dating challenges? The first thing is going back to my previous episode, real human-to-human connection is what we're all craving and what we all really want right now. So in line with this, in solving the loneliness crisis, I really think that we're going to need to actually move away from these dating apps. It's not real life. It's not reality. It's the same as social media. It's all fake. It's all just a curated fake image that people portray, and it's not accurate, and it's making people feel really bad about themselves. I think also we need to reiterate and teach the value that seems that a lot of women want partnership, but very few men do. It's crazy that we have to teach these things. It's crazy that it's not obvious, but there are a lot of advantages to partnership, to meeting a serious partner and being in a long-term relationship. According to the American Psychological Association, married individuals report better mental and physical health than those in less committed relationships. So there's a lot of mental and physical benefits to marriage. Marriage protects against depression, loneliness, and social isolation. Just as I was speaking about in my previous episode on loneliness, having a partner makes you feel a lot less lonely because you have companionship. You have somebody there by your side to hold your hand, to hug you at the end of the day, and tell you everything's going to be okay. And I can say personally that not having that currently in my life, I miss it. And I did really enjoy having that. And having that support makes a huge, huge difference in your mental health. One option that a few of my friends are now looking into, and I myself also looked into, is going to a matchmaker. Old school, you know, hitting up that yenta. I even considered being a matchmaker myself. I thought I wouldn't really enjoy it. I think I have the personality to be a great matchmaker. So the challenge with matchmakers is it is often quite expensive. So I myself looked into one. The cheapest I found was over $3,000. Now, I would be willing to spend $3,000, or, you know, even maybe like $10,000 for my soulmate or someone, you know, who is a wonderful, serious partner. The challenge with matchmakers is that oftentimes you pay a high, hefty price and then it does not guarantee you anything. So it doesn't guarantee even a relationship. Or maybe they'll guarantee you, you know, dates or that you'll meet, but they can't really guarantee that you'll stay together long term, which I understand. And then there are some who you literally pay like on your wedding day or after you get married, but then they charge a very, very high price, like $50,000. So that's one solution, is the matchmaker. Something that my mom brought up to me is that a lot of these guys who are on the free apps are typically not as serious, right? They're just like winning fun. So if there is some kind of premium membership or solution, there are some apps out there, for example, Raya or Lux Club, or, you know, the paid version of the apps. This typically indicates that they are more serious if they're willing to spend money on meeting a partner. So that can be one solution. Another solution is just going to things, showing up to stuff. I mean, like I said in my previous episode, you really never know who you're going to meet. And especially if you go to an event with no expectations of any romantic partner being there, any like romantic pressure, basically. So if you just show up authentically looking to make friends and meet people, you never know who you might meet. And there could be someone who is romantically compatible and is interested in you, and they're going to see you in your element having fun with no pressure, with no dating, you know, flirtation needed. They're just going to see you being your best self, and that's very attractive to a potential partner. Really, you never know who you're going to meet at these events. So you could show up to all sorts of events, as I mentioned in the previous episode. episode, whether that's just like dinners, whether that's some kind of league, softball league, kickball league, something physical at your gym. The more you show up to things, the more chances you're going to have to meet someone that you might be interested in romantically and engaging with them and interacting with them in real life. Ultimately, right, dating is socializing. Even if they won't ask you out per se, you could just start off as friends, and then that friendship could naturally evolve into a romantic relationship. Micro bravery pays off. So if you do those little small but scary acts, whether that's making eye contact with someone, smiling at someone, dare I say winking at someone, but just putting yourself out there, you know, sending good vibes, flirting here and there, those little small things do pay off and could ultimately lead to you meeting the love of your life. There are lots of places in your community to meet someone, and it might not even be at like an organized event. So it could be farmers markets, it could be at an exercise class, it could be at the coffee shop where you work remotely from. Oh, dog parks. I mean, dogs can be a great way to potentially meet a romantic partner, whether that's you're just out walking your dog and then you see people in your neighborhood, or when you're just sitting there watching your dog play. There's so many places in your local community to meet someone. Local political groups, town halls, you never know who you'll run into. I know this sounds cliche as well, but I really do think that it always happens when you're not looking. I'll give, you know, my own personal example. I met my ex when I was 22 years old. I was a baby. I was not looking for like the love of my life, fiance, whatever. And that's really when it always happens. Like when you're not expecting it, when you're not looking for it, they come out of nowhere. And then vice versa, when you are desperate and like, you know, give off that desperate energy that, oh my gosh, I need to meet someone ASAP. I'm so lonely. I need to have kids. You know, they can detect that energy and feel it. And it's a big turnoff for people. So I would say just trust the universe, just trust that everything's happening for you, not to you, and it's all, you know, going to happen in the right time. Another great thing that can work for dating is just friends setting each other up, or even family setting you up. If your friends and family know you really well, they know your preferences, they know your personality, they know your type. So really that can be another great way to meet someone, is just asking around between your friends and family and saying, hey, can any of you think of someone that could be a good match for me? And probably they'd be thrilled to set you up. First of all, because people love doing that. I love doing that. And second of all, they're going to be vetted, right? They're not just some rando. They're somebody that your family and friends already know. So they're not going to be, you know, a total stranger. And the odds of you being compatible would be much higher because you're, again, your friends and family really know you and know your type and know your preferences and know what you're looking for in a partner. So that can always be a great way to meet someone. That's actually often like the preferred way for people to meet, is through being set up by their friends. You could even have like a party. Like you could throw everybody bring someone, like in Sex and the City, you know, everyone bring someone that you're not interested in to this party. And that means everybody's fair game. So you never know who you might meet at some kind of party like that. So really, just to recap, there are so many ways to meet people in real life that are not on dating apps. This could be community events. This could be things happening in your community. You really never know who you're going to run into. Friends and family setting you up can be a wonderful way to meet someone. I think that's often ideal. And I also think you just really need to change your mindset about dating. I had this issue personally where I felt this like desperation and time crunch and pressure, and now I've shifted my mindset and I'm just kind of going with the flow, seeing what happens. I'm not on any of the apps currently, just focusing on myself right now. And I swear, it's wild, whenever you are completely content and happy on your own and you have no desire for a partner because you feel so complete and so content on your own, you're living your best life, that's when they're gonna come out of nowhere. They can like sense it, like they have like spidey senses, and they're gonna see you across the room and pick up on your vibe, pick up on your energy, and they can tell that you're a complete whole person on your own, and that's when you're gonna meet your person, I swear. So work on yourself, love yourself first, that's the bottom line. But just kind of if you shift your mentality about dating and just trust that the universe has your back and everything's gonna happen in the right time as it should, I think you're gonna have a lot of success and feel a lot better about dating and the dating landscape. So don't give up. There's hope. I think that if we can really stress the importance of partnership and move away from these dating apps or find a better way to meet in real life, this problem will improve a lot. But it's a big problem. So I don't have all the answers. I think part of it is just awareness and, you know, knowing that we're not the only ones feeling this, right? Clearly, these apps are not working. Clearly, dating is very, very challenging in the modern era. I don't know if dating's ever been great, to be honest. I don't know if there was ever like a golden era of dating where it was just wonderful. Okay, so homework for this week. I recommend anybody listening who is struggling with dating or finding the apps to be frustrating, I would recommend you do a detox of the apps. So just delete all the apps for a designated period of time. It could be, you know, you want to take like a week break, maybe a few months of a break, like a conscious no app period. And you might be surprised what you find in this time when you step away from the apps. And also when you return to them, you might have a new appreciation and vigor, and your energy will be totally different once you shift your mindset. So I would recommend, as just homework or for anybody who's having a hard time with the apps, to just delete them, move away from the apps, focus on living your best life and just enjoying your time being single. And I swear, like out of nowhere, you will meet someone when you least expect it. I really hope that with, you know, all this awareness around modern dating and the apps not working and all these challenges, I really hope that things can change in the future and everything's working out as it should. So don't worry. Trust that you will meet your person when the timing is right. It's just not the right time right now. If you have any solutions, if you have any ideas about how we can improve this dating dynamic, what we could do differently, how we can meet each other in real life more actively, I would love to hear your thoughts or your suggestions, how you met your partner, whether that be via a dating app or via in person. I would love to hear it. So please share your feedback in the comments. In the future, I'm going to do an episode about dating in different cities across the US. So Miami versus LA versus New York versus Chicago, etc. And I'm going to have another episode on my personal breakup story. So heartbreak, how did I get through it? So thank you for listening. This was Natalie Saves the World, one podcast at a time. We didn't save the world today, but I hope you enjoyed listening and looking forward to seeing you in the next episodes.